Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, we need a speedy wide receiver. The New York Giants take, you know, a big lineman from the Big Ten. You know, William Roberts.
Oh, that sounds like a bitter quarterback to me. Somebody that was bitter that he didn't get enough firepower. I don't know. Yo, what's up? Chris Sims Unbuttoned here. It's Wednesday podcast, and the big effer is ready to go. We got him here. We're going to just hit on, of course, what we saw this weekend. I haven't really talked about my dad about the games a whole lot, so I'm interested to hear what he says about the AFC-NFC Championship game. We're going to hit on just some early thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup, and then a few things to hit on news-wise around the NFL, but that's what we got going today, and let's, like, not waste any more time. What's up, Dad? How you doing, man?
Today is the first day that I've actually gotten up and I'm not saying this, I did not watch any tape yet today. I've done nothing about football except read the papers and articles, and it's a good feeling.
Yeah, I hear that. I know, I hear that. I am, it is very relieving this time of the year to not have to wake up and go, oh gosh, I got to crack through some film today. You know, there's only two teams left, so there's only so much you can watch. And I know you watched a little the last 2 days. I mean, let's start with that. Let's start with the AFC Championship game, Titans-Chiefs.
Right.
I know you and I mean, we talked about this game a lot. We saw some of the issues for both teams. I think we both thought, I don't know, I thought that Tennessee would lose and probably still have more success than they did running the football against the Kansas City Chiefs. But you were there in person. You weren't dressed like Elton John. Now, you maybe were dressed up like you were part of the band with your ascot and all and everything like that, but not totally Elton John.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks. I guess that's a compliment. I don't know what but I got you. I wasn't wearing my wife's sunglasses. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We got to throw the challenge flag on Boomer a lot. I don't know what the hell he was thinking with that whole outfit. But you were there in person. First off, just take us through it all. Just, I want to hear it all. What the environment was like, what it was like watching Mahomes warm up and person, the Tennessee Titans team. Go ahead. Just rant.
Right,
go ahead.
Very general. The first thought is the stadium. As I stood there on the sideline, looked around, I went, oh my gosh, if you're on the top row of the stadium, you still got a great seat.
Right.
It's just really constructed well. It's close to the field. So that was number one. The crowd noise was real. They never let up.
Dad, did you ever play in Kansas City? Like, now I don't feel
only,
like
you'd... No, only in preseason. We never played. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. I never played a game in Kansas City in 15 years.
Right.
We didn't have one there, no. And every time we played them, it was at our place.
Quick side note, too. The same person that built the old Giant Stadium, Meadowlands Stadium, built Arrowhead, actually, just so you know that. But
No, I did know that. And the similarities are, you can see it, except the Giant Stadium is actually maybe even a little closer to the field, which is hard to believe. And Giant Stadium went more straight up than
bigger.
Kansas City.
Definitely.
Yes.
But, all right, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
What Keith Meyer said is Giant Stadium was his favorite. He was a running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, for everybody to know. He loved Giant Stadium. I go, wow, really? He goes, yeah, man, it was like a gladiator running out of that tunnel. And I just went, oh, man, you know, you're right. It's like what we see on TV. So, but the other thing that really hit me about, this is my first thought, first, it was really cold, so I don't care what they did. I'd have worn a dang hat that covered my whole face. And I, honest to God, I think I'm just thawing out from the weekend. But the field, I said, man, because everybody was kind of talking about the field. Oh, it's cold. They got heaters. And the night, you know, our everybody that I work with, I go, you know, I don't think so. Kansas City doesn't make that mistake that we see in Green Bay and some of these places.
Right.
And we got out there, and Boomer, I'm not calling him out, but Boomer goes, wow, look at that. He says, look at that turf. I said, it's not turf, it's grass. He goes, oh, it's turf. And he went out and he, you know, hit it, and he goes, oh, my God, it is grass. So first off, Boomer, you should have known that. But the surface was so perfect to run on. In other words, if I had a fast team, you gave them the fastest surface you can in the NFL that's grass to run on for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right. It's like and a mowed down grass almost, right?
It's unbelievable. You couldn't even probably reach down and get something off the ground.
Right.
And did you, you know, if you think about the game, you never saw the turf being dug up. The footing was truly perfect. In other words, you made a cut, you made the cut. You didn't have to worry about the ground slipping or anything like that. So great credit to them. And, you know, like I said, great atmosphere. Loved watching the guys warm up. Took every second I could. If we went to commercial, I'd stand up and go watch guys and everything on the sideline. The speed of Kansas City was definitely, you could see that it was more than the Titans had. Patrick Mahomes warms up really nice and smooth. It was perfect. And Ryan Tannehill just literally threw with much more force during warm-ups. He threw full speed.
Right.
And he didn't miss a ball.
Right.
Every ball was a perfect spiral, right on target, extremely impressive. And he's impressive looking in person, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's in perfect quarterback shape. You can tell he can really run still. I don't think he uses his legs enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
But his throwing was truly, it was really, really good. I got one complaint about his throwing is that I wish he could have a few more arm angles and stuff with it, you know, in the heat of the game. But, man, I'm being really nitpicky there. Like I said, you and I have talked about it. He throws the ball very, very well.
So we get into the game. The first two drives, you're going, oh, my gosh, Tennessee's kind of, you know, moving the ball up and down in the field.
Yes.
Did you think Kansas City was in trouble early on, or did you got to feel like, okay, I think they'll settle in? Because I thought they were – I was like, oh, no, they're in trouble. I did, especially the drive that went up 17-7. I went, oh, no, that was a smash-mouth, in-your-face type drive. What was your feeling there?
Well, I think I had a little bit of those thoughts, you know, the same as you did. And I had a great view there, standing there just going, oh, man. And it was just what we thought. It was the left side of the offensive line. It seemed like they were running there every single play to me. And just to watch the fighting between the offense and defensive line was, you know, just it's you could hear it. You know, whatever, it's really cool. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And, I did think that. You know, people said, oh, Derrick Henry was probably tired. I sure did notice it. He looked fast to me in warm-ups. You know, a lot of pop, all those things. Not to move ahead, but my first – what really happened in the game, and I'm sure you've watched it close, probably closer than I did, second half starts, Kansas City made some adjustments.
Yep.
Chris Jones is in the game.
Right.
He was a huge factor in the series. I think he disrupted a run, tackle, and then they threw a screen. But even on a screen, he was close to Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
And then the next series, if I'm not mistaken, big number 64, Mike Pinnell,
right.
He took over and became a factor in three plays in a row.
Yes.
And so, I really look at that and going, wow, those two series might have been the turning point in the game.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's 17-14. It was the end of the first half on the Chris Jones plays you're talking about. And then the Pinnell plays were the Tennessee Titans' first drive of the third quarter. But
okay.
Your point's real, no doubt about it. That's the thing I noticed as well. And the Chiefs are good at second half adjustments, right? I mean, I know we both noticed the Titans a lot of the times are trying to shift their tight end from one side to the other so they could run the ball at the bubble a little bit early in the first half. And Kansas City made the adjustment to go, no, we're not going to let that be the bubble. We're going to shift our D-line too to where now our strength is to the tight end side. And they made those adjustments, which I give them credit for as well.
Well, my only thing is, my only complaint about that is, why did it take them to the second half to do that?
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, it's simple math in my mind. Somebody asked me this question. I go, well, look, if you line up and everybody lines up on defense against you and you move a guy from one side of the field to the other, are you going to just stand there and not change anything?
Right.
And there's no easier way to explain that to the fans.
Yep.
But, you know, I think, just my other thought was just watching the Tennessee Titans receivers run. I like their group, but, you know, there's just not that, you know, you never see that guy that's just top end speed, I guess you'd say, whatever, not being negative towards them. But I think that's something they got to be careful of or whatever. They need a little more speed at the receiver position.
Yep.
And what's the other thing? They need more plays on offense.
Right.
You know, but so there, we had this discussion on Showtime, and, you know, I was yelling one. Everybody thinks this was a one-year thing. They were all in. It's over. The run's over. I go, the run is just starting for the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
You know, they're loaded with good young players.
Yep.
John Robinson is, they're crushing it on the guys they're drafting.
Yep.
So I think they got a good future here. Free agency is, man, the league's changing so much. It'll be interesting to see what they do, but it wouldn't shock me to see them be, you know, a better team next year than they were this year.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I do. You're right. They're not far off. They have young talent, and they've done a good job, and have an identity as a football team. I think that's the other thing that jumps out to me, too.
Well, you know, I said, I doubt if you watched this during the pregame, but, you know, I think one of the things I said that I was like, wow, I really like this, is that Mike Vrabel is truly a leader of men. He knows how to connect to them, but in the right way. I'm not saying it's father, son, or whatever, boss, and this, but he's a leader of men. And when he walks in a room and you're sitting in there waiting for the coach to come in, as soon as he enters the door, you know, you get a little tight.
Yeah.
Because you know the man's in the room.
Right.
And I really think that's his greatest strength. I do. Now, you know, just listening to Logan Ryan and guys like that on the defensive side talk about what they do, I believe it when they say it. We are so complicated, and everybody has so many roles and all these things. Sounds like the Patriots.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting to hear that. And I don't know if you heard me say this, but the Titans admitted this, that we will not be able to rattle Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Now, isn't that something?
That's something to admit it, for sure. That
nobody admits those things.
Right.
We're going to pressure him and, you know, hit him and see if he likes it. But, nope, they said it. The evidence is there. You know, 2 years, I truly, myself, have never seen him rattled in a game. And I know, not just by his play, but I think you and I know that you can see it in the face of the quarterback.
Right.
And it wasn't, and I'll give you one example.
Yeah.
When Lamar Jackson was sitting on the bench one time when the Ravens were losing to the Tennessee Titans,
right.
I said to in the studio, we're sitting there, I said, that's the first time I've seen him look like that all year.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of got, I'm not saying it got in his head, but he's like going, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, am I going to be able to pull this off today?
This,
it was one of those looks.
This is just not going the way I wanted,
right.
And I just
right.
The ball's not coming out the way, you know, so whatever. So, but to say that about a player just says a lot. And just to watch him manipulate the pocket is really unbelievable. I thought the Titans made a huge mistake, Christopher, and the three-man rush.
Yeah.
I hate it. You know, 1993, Dan Reeves is saying, look, when they rush three, don't rush to throw it.
Right.
And I go, wow, nobody ever told me that.
Right. Nobody told me that until year seven of my career when I was with Josh McDaniels and the Denver Broncos. Yes, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I can't believe I should have told you myself, but I didn't do enough teaching, so whatever. But, because it looked like, and it, just his movement, and when I watched the tape, you know me, I keep a lot of dumb stats, and I kind of quit at times because, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to. But I had Patrick Mahomes completing seven passes way outside the pocket, plus, what, four rushes? Whatever, I don't know how many rushes there it ended up being. But all those outside the pocket, which is, that's a big, you know, you just don't realize when I'm watching the game the second time, I'm going, wow, that you could almost say it's the difference in the game.
Yes.
And so my first thought there goes, are the San Francisco 49er defensive linemen, are they disciplined enough to make sure he doesn't get outside the pocket?
Right.
They've never played a quarterback that takes a 12-yard drop.
Right.
You know, so now the angles change and this and that. My last thing about Patrick Mahomes, I'll let you ask the question.
Yeah.
I didn't get really close, but I got close enough to go, damn, he's big.
Right. It's sneaky big, right?
I think that's what caught everybody by surprise. You know, you've told me, and Bill Cowher saw him in person the week before, and he said to me, you know, he's big. I go, I know. You don't realize it. And big, thick legs, big, and long arms right. And everything, and quite a presence on the field, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, just a little history here. Like, have you ever – I mean, first, two things. One, I've been saying this all week. Do you think he's the best quarterback in the game right now? And two, have you ever really seen anybody play the way he plays with, like, what you talked about, just drifting back there 10, 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage? You got anybody that comes to mind there?
You know, I really don't.
Yeah.
I really can't.
It's different than Rodgers and his prime and doing that. He did it a different way. It wasn't like
this. Yeah, he kind of stepped up the move sideways more.
Right.
No, I've never seen anybody play the position like him. And I don't even think it's an argument. It's not even a discussion. He's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't care. It's really, just like I said, he never gets rattled. He can make all the throws. He makes this. He does that. And, of course, yes, he's with great talent, but he makes the great talent even look better.
Yes.
So, I think just the way, the fact that, I throw with Matt, my other son, we throw with a lot of quarterbacks, and we work on, running sideways, doing all that stuff, but we work a lot on what? Hey, here it is. Just start backpedaling. Get back there, and then, if you see something, get out of the way or plant that back foot, throw off your back foot. I mean, I think it's an art that, you'd want to train all young quarterbacks, and you'd almost want from your quarterback now in the NFL. It's really interesting to watch. Watch what it does to guys chasing him and how easy and with no effort he just kind of just jogs away from them. It's hilarious.
But, yeah. I've never seen a quarterback wear out defenses the way I saw this guy do it the last 2 weeks. Like, usually when you talk about getting a defense worn out, it's like smash mouth, Derrick Henry, we're pounding you and the defense is getting tired. Like, this is a new version of it that I've never seen. A quarterback who floats back there and holds the ball forever or scrambles around or finally does run to where I think he's wearing defenses out just from them having to chase him and from the DBs having to cover for so long in the fourth quarter. I think they're all dead.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing too. How would you like to be a wide receiver with him?
Yeah,
I meant to ask Brandon that yesterday, Brandon Marshall, that I don't think he ever to be a wide receiver, run down the field and go, oh, I'm covered, oh, he moved, and you get to stop and reverse your field or do whatever. Just think how many catches extra catches they got because of that. With the wide receivers, Patrick Mahomes, and the thing about them is, without question, they do not run out of plays,
which
Andy Reid's been there a long time. All that has a big effect. And I don't know who told me, it might have been you, but third and three and less, you better have an unbelievable offense from there.
Yeah.
Everybody can do something on first and 10 and we got this pass for second down. But when you're talking about third and short, you just nowadays, especially with running games, the way they undercut the defenders do that and all that, the running game is not as effective sometimes now as it used to be in third and short. You got to be able to throw it. You just got to have about, 10 different ways how to pick people. If they're going to play man to man,
right?
Something to really fool them, or something that's, it looks like we're going left, but when we go right, the counter, stuff like that, it's really, it's what an offense, You got to spend most of your time, I think, nowadays doing that more than anything.
Yeah, I get you. I think the best offenses we see in football, whether it be the Patriots for years, the 49ers this year, the Saints, when they get you in those, to your point, when they get you in third and four or less, they have a whole different offense to unveil to you, which
yes.
makes them unstoppable. And not all teams have that. And to your point,
very few teams right. have it. Yeah, we were right. talking about that and going on. And it was Bill Cowher. We were at dinner. Me, Bill Cowher, Nate, the whole crew was there. We were kind of talking, and Cowher was like, "Yeah, yeah." And then Tony Romo came and sat down, and he heard what we were talking about. And he goes, "Oh yeah," and he was pretty funny. He just goes, "You're in New England. It's 3rd and 2." Oh, don't worry, Tom. We're gonna get a guy free here. We'll pick this and do this and just throw it to him.
Right.
And really kind of sarcastically, but we all got it, and we all know that New England probably has more of those plays. Well, I won't say more than anybody else in the NFL, but they're definitely top three, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I think you're safe by saying they got more of them, too. I'm with you. All right, so let's flip it over.
Go ahead.
Let's go to that NFC game. I think.
But the last thing, I don't know. Yeah. Tennessee, I thought, by and large, the initial coverage by their defensive backs was good.
Yes.
And, they got unlucky on a couple. The one touchdown to Sammy Watkins, who was covering? Brock was covering.
Yeah.
He got his feet tanked.
Yeah.
A little unlucky there. But overall,
yeah.
they were running with them. And I don't know if you heard me say it. They ran in their game week 10, they ran 50 man-to-man coverages in that game.
Right.
50.
Right. Took a different approach this game.
Yeah, they didn't quite – I thought they – they weren't quite as aggressive. I really don't know why. I think I would have erred on the side of being aggressive.
Right.
I think what probably changed it is what? Oh, we're scoring, so let's play a different game.
Yes.
We might, I'm sure early in the game, Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith are going, man, we're going to put up 30 or 40 on these guys.
Right.
But didn't quite work that way.
No, it didn't work that way. And to you and what you're saying, number 15, it doesn't matter right now. I've seen a lot of perfect defenses the last 2 weeks that end up being advantage Kansas City, and that's when you know the guy is great.
Yeah, Matt, and physically right now, his biorhythms, they're high.
Yeah, they're high. It is.
They are really high.
Yeah.
You can tell he's healthy. He's just in an unbelievable groove throwing the football and just his body, everything. It's you can tell he's at his peak.
Well, all right, so NFC 49ers, physical ass-whooping. I don't think, I thought Green Bay would hang in there more than they did. I really thought it was going to be like a 24-10 game where the Packers scored a late touchdown and make it 24-17. It's kind of how I broke it down. But, what jumps out to you most about the 49ers and the Packers?
Well, the one thing that I waffle on sometimes, it doesn't take much for me to go, well, maybe I was wrong, but what I thought about Green Bay from early in the year all the way through the year was
right.
one thing. I think, and I wrote it down many times, but I couldn't remember which ones, but they truly in four games during the year absolutely just got overpowered by the other team.
Right.
They just ran it down their throat. The number one that came to my mind, and I know, was Philadelphia
yes.
on a Sunday or Monday night game.
It was a Thursday night. Yeah,
it was Thursday night.
Right.
Well, they just ran it over them.
Yes.
And that happened. That was part of it. Out there, as I'm not telling you don't anything you don't know. But some of the schemes and some of the influence blocks, the tight end, He acts like he's going
to
block, and then he leaves.
Goes to the next
shaking.
Guy. Right, yeah, yeah.
Goes, and then the poor defender's there like, oh, he's going across. And then, he looks up, and here comes Tomlinson, the left guard, pulling
right.
and knocking you out or
right,
whatever.
Right.
So the run scheme was awesome, to say the least. The angles they got, it was great. It was old school NFL man-to-man blocking a lot of that stuff.
Right.
Everything was having the right angle. It wasn't about hitting the guy head on and trying to overpower him.
Right.
So it was great. And I don't know what to say about Raheem Mostert is that, boy, he put his track shoes on. And I know Kyle Shanahan teaches it. And I've seen it everywhere he's gone. But that's about as fast as I've ever seen a running back just put the pedal to the metal. And, you know, if you didn't know, you just go, sooner or later, he's going to get blown up. But he never did.
It never does, right.
It was impressive. But that's what they expect from the running backs. Everybody keeps talking about Mike Shanahan and what he did with Terrell Davis. Yes, I did many of those games. That's right.
Right.
But what the San Francisco 49ers are doing, it's more. It's more complicated,
yep.
More diverse, whatever you want to say.
Right.
And I think it's much tougher to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, it's schematically, to me, the most creative, well-thought-out, well-coached, well-executed run game in football.
Yeah.
I mean, it was them in Baltimore all year long, but I think that Shanahan's even more creative than anything they got in Baltimore. And I say that with all the respect in the world towards Baltimore. But, yeah, they didn't always have to be overly creative when you have Lamar Jackson. You know, Kyle finds a lot of different ways to attack you. You know, the other thing I find myself defending a little bit this week, as usual, you know, Aaron Rodgers lost the game, Dad. He lost it. It was all him. He lost it. He's not great anymore because he can't get to the Super Bowl. Now, I know we haven't talked about this one bit. I know you watched that side of the film as well, 49ers defense versus Packers offense. You know, what jumped out to you there?
Well, you know, what do you want Aaron Rodgers to do?
Yeah.
I love these debates, the quarterback stuff.
Right.
Did he play perfect? No, of course not. But he didn't give up, you know, 399 yards of rushing.
Right.
Okay, you know, when everybody goes, well, you know, when you run the ball over 20 times, you win the game. Well, no, well, yeah, that's what, because you're beating the crap out of the other team. That's why the rushing attempts are high.
Right.
Oh, you know, Derrick Henry, he only got so many carries. Well, you moron, they were losing.
Yeah.
And the running game wasn't working as the way they wanted, so
right.
You have to go to plan B. But, you know, did Aaron Rodgers, you know, the fumble snap, I thought that when he dropped back the one time and he was hit, sacked, and fumbled, I thought it was a chance for a touchdown. He was hanging in there. He was going to. I'm pretty sure he was going to load up and throw one as far as he could down the right sideline.
Right.
And I didn't look to see what receiver it was, but it looked like they had a step on the corner.
Yep.
And it would have been interesting.
It was. It was Devontae Adams on Richard Sherman, and he ran a double move on the outside to the play you're talking about. You're right. It would have been interesting.
It would have been interesting, yes. And you know what's funny? It took the Green Bay Packers too long to start going,
right.
Because they had a lot of good plays. I know the game was a little lopsided when it happened, but they had a lot of good thoughts that were going to give the 49ers defense trouble. It just took them too long to start calling those plays and get to it, mainly because the 49ers are running the football and running the clock down and keeping them off the field. But I thought it was, believe it or not, I thought it was one of the more creative, you know, from start to finish for Green Bay.
Yeah.
The different type of plays and some of the stuff they did.
Definitely.
I thought it gave the 49ers, their system, and their players a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Even the score wasn't close.
Right.
You know, they started, you saw the end cuts. And then the 49ers started playing the end cuts, and all of a sudden, you know, boom, stop it. And instead of the end cut, they faked it and ran outside, you know, 20-yard completion, stuff
right.
like that. The
right.
screens, it was a lot. But Green Bay, just to get on that side, my last thing is this. Their offensive line, it's good. It's a good offensive line, but the same thing. They
yeah.
can be overpowered.
Yes, they can.
They can, and we saw it. I've seen it this year, and it's, you know, it's another concern. And, of course, a lot of teams get overpowered by the 49ers front, but, you know, Green Bay, they just got to get bigger and more physical to really compete, I think, at the top level. Great. The last line
yeah.
is Bill Cowher says this, your strengths will get you in the playoffs.
Right.
Your weaknesses get exposed once they start.
Definitely. And that, I mean, you know, you got to the Tennessee weaknesses and Green Bay's weaknesses we talked about all year long were two things that you and I talked about. Their run defense, lack of big people, lack of depth. And then did they have enough plays and offense and enough things like that to when they got in this type of game to overcome it? And they both reared their ugly head on Sunday.
Yeah, they really did, and it was a great learning lesson for Matt LaFleur, but also, man, you hate to have learning lessons when you have to take it in the championship game, that's for sure, you know, and so it's the playoffs, and you know, I'm a big believer in it. Yes, you play, and if you got the advantage, you take advantage of it physically, whatever. But you can't be afraid to take chances. And I never really second-guess coaches when they do something. You go, oh, why would you do that there? Because he's trying to win the game. That's
right,
why.
Right. That's right.
And you were talking about usually about very good competition. So you got to think outside the box. You know, that's a nice cliche, but you really, truly do. And most teams during a playoff run do some unusual and unique things that help them win Super Bowls.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so hey, while we're on this, all right, first off, what tell me. I'm not even sure I know. You know, what's your number one – when I say weakness of the 49ers, what comes to your head?
Number one weakness, I think – I don't know if I can say one. The drop-back passing game, if they got in a situation where, okay, now we got to throw it. It's third quarter. We're down 14 or something, which could happen, whatever. That would worry me.
Yep.
But also, I think if – Kansas City's a pretty good pass-protecting line, mobile quarterback, lots of plays, short, deep, whatever, that I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to throw the football on this defense.
Yeah, right. Okay, yep. All right, so I'm with you there. I think those are you nail on the head for sure. All right, so tell me about Kansas City. What's the one or two weaknesses that pop to your head about them right off the bat?
Well, you know, off the bat, my first thought on the offense is they have none.
Yeah.
I just can't think what it is. They don't run the ball great. Well, yeah, it's because they throw a lot. If he wants to run it, he wants something safe, he'll just throw a safe pass and get him 4 or 5 yards.
Right.
Did I say this to you last week? Why does Andy Reid hate to run it on first down?
Because he hates second and nine.
That's right. There you go. and then the opposite is, why does he run it on first down sometimes?
Just to run it, just to keep you somewhat honest.
No, let his wide receivers rest so he can send their ass down the field again.
That's a good one.
I mean, come on, that's it.
You're right.
That's it. But so their offense, the defense, I think it has gotten better. I think I like their secondary much more than I have in years. I think Tyrann Mathieu is the real deal. In other words, he is now the player that he was when he got drafted, and he was really being an impact player with the Arizona Cardinals. He had injuries, and you know, your injuries, you never come back the next year.
Right.
It's usually the following year you get back to where you really were, and that's kind of what we're seeing from him. He's fast. He's aggressive. All that, but just seeing him in person, he's all over it.
Right.
He's all over it. His attitude, his talking, tackling, and man, it's really cool. He gives the team, he's given their defense smarts, personality, you know, swagger, whatever you want to say, and most of all, talent.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really helped them. So that I like. I still, you know, the big question is, how will the defensive front hold up against all this run game of the 49ers? That's the only question I really have. I think the Kansas City secondary can match up with the San Francisco 49ers wide receivers.
Yep.
That doesn't concern me greatly. It's just the run game that concerns me when you talk about the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we hit it all there. All right, I just want to ask you this. Super Bowl. You know, you played your NFC January 1987, January 11th. You got 2 weeks. Like, well, what is this first week like? I don't even know if I've ever heard you say this or talked about this with you. What's this first week like before you got to travel out to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, we, of course, I can't remember how many days we practiced. I think we went Wednesday. No, he gave us 3 days off.
Wow.
After, yes. But so what? I mean, you know, we come back in there on Thursday, full pads, just it's war. And we're putting in the game plan. We had a big practice on Friday, really tough. And then on Saturday, we actually, you know, Christopher, maybe for the only time I remember in my career, I think we went out in sweats.
Right.
You know, I mean, no shoulder pads, just helmets. And we kind of went through a loose practice. It was really high energized, and we flew out to Pasadena or to L.A. or wherever.
Did you have most of your game plan ready and intact when you flew out to Pasadena, or did you do more there? Because now I feel like that's the new thing. Like, all the teams, their game plans, everything's done that first week. The second week,
we were done.
You were done, okay.
We were done, and, you know, it just got to a point on the Friday afternoon. We had a practice on Monday out in L.A. We were at the Rams facility, full pads, and we had fights.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy. I was like going, oh, my God. I mean, offensive and defensive linemen are swinging, hitting each other and everything. So we got Tuesday off because that was media day, which was not a big deal back then. But the rest of the week on Friday, we're probably about halfway through the practice, and I can see Parcells is really antsy, like, okay, we got it. And I remember throwing it the very first play of the game.
Right.
I threw an in-cut to Lionel Manuel.
Right.
I do it in practice somewhere. You know, it's about midway through our team period. I throw it, and he goes, oh, that's it. Oh, you're hot. You're hot. I mean, don't leave it on the field. Can you keep it to Sunday? You know, and I was like, man, Bill never talked to me like that. And we actually, after about another play or two, he goes, all right, that's it. We got it. Everybody up. And, you know, he gave us not even a speech. Just goes, okay, fellas, you know, we're gonna leave. And that night we moved hotels back then. We moved from where we were
right
to a really isolated place and stayed there for 2 days before the game.
Yeah.
But how about that? He knew we were ready. We couldn't have been sharper in any way talking about what we were doing. And so he called it off. So one of the weak moments in Bill Parcells' career.
I was going to say. I never heard you say that before. So
I kind of forgot it. And just because, you know, he's John Gruden like you lived with.
Yeah.
He stands behind the quarterback, and as you drop, he goes, there he is, there he is. And you're like, who, what are you talking about? You know, I loved it. I always loved that. Sometimes I'd get so close to him, I thought, man, if I could just gone another 6 inches, I could have put my cleat on his foot, and you know, or something like that. But you know, that's
yeah,
it's good. I always see this, the one thing that I learned, and if I ever coach, which I'm not going to now, of course, but I would practice under pressure.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yes, definitely. Made the game easier.
Yeah. Practice every day was the only thing important in our life.
Right.
And he would start when we'd walk in the locker room. By God, we better have a better practice today. And, you know, right away it's, you know, 7:30 in the morning and hell, I'm already starting to sweat and getting nervous. Oh, man, I hope I have a good day today.
Right.
But it really is. It's a big deal, you know. I would go watch practices. Christopher and I was doing games, and just say, I'm not going to say the teams, but they would complete every single pass in the practice.
Yes, right. Scripted for success.
Yeah, and then I'd go watch the good teams.
You watch New England, and Brady might throw 10 plays in a row in practice because Bill's made practice so hard that it's not always scripting for success.
No, New England guys are jumping and knocking the ball down.
Right.
The defenders,
right.
Receivers are diving for the ball. The Steelers were always, with Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin, very hard practices on Friday.
Right.
You know, game plan, but everybody, hey, don't let them complete it, intercept it.
Yeah.
If you know the play, take it.
Right.
And, you know, of course, as a quarterback, that's infuriating because they've seen it all week long. But
yeah.
That's the way it is. So, yeah. But it's a great lesson, and I think it's like I said,
yeah.
just something to keep it. Well, whatever.
There's a lot of teams that have lost that. There's a lot of teams that, like, to your point, it's always about, oh, we just want to look pretty and feel good, and we're executing. Yeah, okay, we're executing, and you're telling the defense not to make a play on the ball, and it's, you know, the perfect play for exactly the coverage you want to see it against, where that just might not be the reality of the game on Sunday.
This will be the last thing. I'll let you just say this.
Yeah.
Ron Earhart was our offensive coordinator, and he was a great guy and an unbelievable designer of run plays. Man, he would have loved the 49er game more than any game in the world, just for all the execution and the pulls, the hits, and get the angles, because that's what he believed in, the angle blocking. But he'd get ready to call the play to me and go, you know, listen, you know, don't forget now, we're looking at the X and, you know, this and that. So I'd drop back and predetermine. So I'd throw it and he'd be double teamed. And, you know, they'd all yell at me and I'd look at him and he'd go, don't predetermine, read the coverage.
Right.
He'd set me up.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, I got used to it over the years. Every time he told me something, I don't know if I believed him or not, because I know he'd set you up for in practice. He loved doing it, too. You know, he loved it. He'd do it to all the quarterbacks. And, oh, man, poor Ron. But anyway, he was a great coach.
So breaking news, first off, all right, 1979, week 8, your first road start as an NFL quarterback was in Arrowhead Stadium.
Oh, God, you're right. You're right.
Yes, right. So
right. I threw a pass down the middle of the field, end over end, and hit the receiver deep, right in stride. I don't know how I did it. And he ran for a touchdown. I forgot what we won by.
53-yard touchdown duck, it sounds like, to Ernest Gray down the middle.
It was a true duck. it was unbelievable. I threw it. Christ. And he just kept carrying it. He caught it right in stride and ran for a touchdown. Yes, that's right.
And then Harry Carson had a 22-yard fumble return to win the game. Giants.
What was the score of the game?
21-17, G-Men.
Oh, was that close? My recollection is we won easy, but I guess not.
No, I guess not.
Yeah. But that was the turf field, you know, all that, and it wasn't quite the hot spot that it is right now, that's for sure.
All right, two things, and let's get done here. Two things, recent news. I just think are interesting coordinator hirings. I want to get your take on Jason Garrett to the Giants and then Jay Gruden to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I think Jay Gruden going to Jacksonville, get him first. I think it's a really good move. I never watched the Washington Redskins play a game, and I know he wasn't always the coordinator or whatever, but I know he's got his finger in there. And I never say, oh, they don't do enough good stuff. I don't like this. I think they're a well-versed offense that does everything.
Right.
And he has a great selection of plays. He coaches guys hard. He's really truthful. I mean, wow, really truthful.
Yes, he is.
Yes. You know, he doesn't do it with malice. He just says the truth, and let's march on through it.
Right.
So that'll be good for that team. And, he's kind of got a light personality, even though he's tough.
Yeah.
That doesn't quite rub you the wrong way either. So that's pretty cool.
Very true.
And then Jason Garrett coming to the Giants. I mean, listen, if he's not coaching the Cowboys, I would think Jason Garrett's at the one place he really would like to be, and that's with the New York Giants. I'm pretty sure the Giants were his favorite team growing up.
Right.
You know, the Garretts are legends here in New Jersey, as you know. And I really believe this. He'll do a really good job on the offensive side because now he's going to just concentrate on that.
Yep.
We got a good young quarterback that's kind of probably more in tune with what, you know, with some of the stuff they do, throwing in rhythm, this, that, moving him around, all that, and it'll be, I think it's a good marriage.
I do too.
Yeah, so I'm anxious to see how it works. And really, honestly, for both of them, for Jay Gruden and Jace, I'm almost surprised they're coaching. I thought they, you know, after runs of being a head coach, they might take that 1 year off, but no, it seems like nobody wants to take a year off in the NFL.
No, you're right. Nobody does. I mean, they're all psychos. They all want to be relevant. I'm sure these are two guys, too, that want to be a head coach one day again in the NFL. So they want to get started and get on that path right off the bat.
Well, you know, that's true. And I would think both of them, if they have a little success, that they will get another chance.
Right.
And you know why they're psychos, don't you?
Why?
Well, because as all these older coaches, I'll never forget, I said to Tom Moore, I've said it to many coaches, why are you still doing this? He goes, I get to walk out on the field on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, of course. That's the whole answer.
It is.
Dan Henning, retired, playing golf down in Florida, loves his golf. He's playing his second hole. Bill Parcells, his name, whatever, the general manager of the Dolphins. His phone rings. He's on his second hole. He takes it out of his golf bag and answers, and Bill said, hey, do you want to come to Miami and be the offensive coordinator? Whatever. And he goes, yes, I will. And he goes, I'll be there tomorrow. And he put his phone up, and I said, did you ask how much you're going to get paid? He goes, I didn't care.
That's amazing.
Well, what do you mean? He goes, Sims, how many damn rounds of golf can you play?
Right.
And he missed the action, you know.
Yeah.
And did not ask about the money. That's what was really funny. He goes, I didn't care. I just wanted, you know. I got to get up. You know, it sounds like, oh, come on, that can't be true. But, you know, like you said, they're psychos. They love that fix every Sunday. And, hey, so do I. So do you.
Yeah, I love it. You're right. You're right. And you used that advice for Brett Favre, and he took it when he was thinking about retiring in Green Bay that first time around. And he said, and he quoted you. I know I was listening to Phil Simms earlier today, and he said, you know, how many freaking rounds of golf can you play when it's retired? It gets old. You might as well play football as long as you can. And Brett took that comment from you because he's recognized that publicly before and went on and signed with the Jets because he heard you on an interview say that exact same thing.
Yeah, I know. I did. I remember that, you know. And I'll tell you this, too, something. Your mother, my wife, we were talking, and I said to her, I said, you know, this, that, we're all happy and everything, and I love my job, and I'm involved in football, because that's all I want to do. I don't have any other ambitions, and, you know, that's okay. But I just said to her, you know, that I have really just one, I just wish I would have coached, at least given it a try.
Right.
And you know, what do you think she said?
You should have. Go do it now.
Just about.
Yeah.
I know, you should have coached. And da 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 and da da da. And then I was going, oh, so you need to fix too.
Yeah.
And see, and you know, your
mom
mother
definitely needs it.
Your mother, she spent half of my career in the bathroom because she was afraid of what was going on.
Right.
And here she wants you to coach. Oh my gosh. But yeah, it is. There's just something about it. You know, walking out in that field, and that was what was great about doing the pregame show out in in Kansas City.
Yeah.
That to be on the field and watch the guys warm up.
Yeah, feel the energy.
The energy, they're young.
Yeah.
It is truly 7 degrees. I'm still trying to get over Sunday. And they're out there in short sleeves, and they don't care.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And even the coaches, they're flying around, you know. Dean Pease, I saw him jogging around. I said hi to him. So, it was great. So, all right, that's it, man.
You're the man, Dad. Thanks, man.
All right,
that was awesome. Good talk.
It's the only time I get to talk to my son, everybody. He never calls me during the week, so
that's
we have
right.
to talk on the podcast.
Just keep it real on the podcast. Save it for
that's
the
it,
podcast,
brother.
As they all say. Right. All right, big fucker. See you later. All right, that's it. Chris Simms unbuttoned. That's another one in the can. Next week, going to Miami, as you would know. It's going to be a lot of fun, all right? We got PFT every day with Florio, all of that stuff. Going to be doing the podcast, all right, from Miami. Wednesday, we're going to be at a Playwright pub, okay, Irish pub in Miami doing a podcast with Florio. That's going to be really cool. But I want to take a quick moment to tell you something special and exciting I've been doing with Campbell's Chunky Soup. Throughout the season, I sat down with former NFL players as we discussed the many ways that football is family. And football is family. I mean, being in a locker room's family, but so many times successful players in general, got to the NFL because of the support of their family and the surrounding cast. We're releasing the latest episode where I interviewed Muhammad Massaquai, a former wide receiver who has a fascinating background. I mean, it really is. You talk about a personal story of triumph and a guy that's still triumphing as he goes post-football. I mean, you got to look at his hand. Check out this video. It's on YouTube / NBCSports.com, okay? It's really worth it. It's the NBC Sports YouTube page. To hear the whole thing, head there. You'll hear me, Muhammad Massaquai, talk about some of the struggles he had to deal with in life. And a special thanks to Campbell's Chunky Soup for setting this up. Here's a little clip from our interview.
You just learn really fast, just like the value of life. You learn really fast, just not to take things for granted, how to be intentional for things.
Right.
You know, you get a cool Iron Man hand in the process. Thank God for technology. I'm just appreciative just of life now.
Yeah.
You know, like, and being able to deal with it and own it and understand that, like, life goes on.
Yeah.
You know, ideally, you know, you still have all your fingers going through life. You still have your spleen
right.
going through life.
Right.
But sometimes that's not how things work.
I mean, that's what I mean. First off, I mean, he said he's got an Iron Man hand. I'm going to say it was the Terminator hand, okay? But you gotta watch this, all right? And if you want to check it out, it's the NBC Sports YouTube page. Check that out. Me, Muhammad Mbasakwai. You'll see some other interviews I had throughout the year with other players. But a huge thanks to Campbell's Chunky team, okay, all season for making all this happen. I really enjoyed it. Football was a crucial part of my life, and family, I should say, was a crucial part of my life and helping me be successful in football. And some of the guys I talked to, especially Muhammad Mbasakwai, they had the same things for them as they grew up and had the support of family and friends around them to make it all work. All right, everybody, I'm out. Peace out. Chris Sims Unbuttoned. Check us out next week from Miami.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.